Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We got to work on this men thing. Hallelujah. How y'all doing this evening? Anybody tired? Nobody's tired? I was, but I was glad. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. We find strength in here. God will strengthen us with all might in the inward man where it really counts. We can strengthen ourselves by walking, working out, but God can strengthen us by strengthen us in our inward man, where our inward man can be strong. The Bible says a wounded spirit who can bear. See, a broken spirit who can bear. God is good. You know, we're going to talk about the blessing of the Lord tonight. Because the Bible says, it maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow to it. We're going to talk about the blessing. But see, we hear about the blessing, but we hear more about the stuff being the blessing than we hear about the actual blessing of the Lord. And I'm going to talk about the blessing, and I'm going to refute some things on purpose because it's about more so the blesser than the blessing. We are blessed because we have a blesser, and his name is Jesus. We're blessed because we have him. If we don't have him, there is no blessing. You can take the blessing and burn it as far as I'm concerned, because he's the one that satisfies. He's the one that restores our soul. See, the blessing of the Lord, it does make rich, and he doesn't add sorrow to it, but it's because we have him. The disciples had nothing but Jesus, and yet they were happy, they were satisfied, and they were sustained. They had the true blessing. They had the true riches of the gospel. The true riches of the gospel have nothing to do with cars, things, airplanes, jewelry, or watches, rings, or Rolexes. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with being right with God. That is the true blessing. Blessing simply means the gift of God's grace. That is a powerful, powerful definition of blessing. But yet it's so simple, and yet it's so profound. The blessing, the gift of God's grace. It was grace that drew us, my brother and sister. It was grace that held Jesus to that tree. See, the blessing always points back to the blesser, the man, Christ Jesus. I'm tired of hearing sermons about the blessing and about how God wants to give you stuff. The stuff God wants to really give you, he wants to give you your joy back. He wants to give you your peace back. He wants to give you back that right relationship with God Almighty. He wants to make things that make you uneasy to approach the presence of God. He wants that blessing to be restored. He wants that tension between you and him to be broken down. That's what the cross is for. And that's what the blood of Jesus is for. That's what salvation is for. The blessing, the gift of God's grace. His grace is amazing. His grace is amazing. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. The blessing of our forgiveness, man, does it make rich. Knowing that our sins are forgiven, we're going to escape a devil's hell and we're going to be in heaven forever. That's the true blessing, my brother and sister. All the other stuff is just a bonus, but that's the blessing. Longevity is a blessing according to Exodus 20, verse 12. Blessing. We're blessed going in, we're blessed coming out. What does that simply mean? Where whatever we find our hands do, it's going to prosper. Whatever we put our hand forth in an effort, God's going to prosper it. It might be that we might hate our job, but when we put our hand to do it, because of the blessing of the Lord, we're going to prosper. God's going to give us favor with man because of the blessing of the Lord. Why? Because we have the blesser. Not because of the things, but because we have him and because we're right with him. Jesus said this in the Old Testament. It says, I said before you two ways, blessing and cursing. If you do all of the things that I command you this day, you'll be blessed. So God sets before us two ways, and yet us and our stubborn selves, we begin down that road of blessing. And somehow, sometimes we veer off of that road and we have to get back on that road, my brother and sister. But God wants us blessed. But don't substitute being blessed because you get a new car. Because if it's really a blessing, God will give it to you and you won't have to pay for it. That's a true blessing. And he added no sorrow to it. So you won't be complaining about that payment that you got to pay every month if it's a real blessing of the Lord. God wants to bless us. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless this ministry. God wants to bless our pastor. Blessing the gift of God's grace. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." See, it's an important thing that we understand that Jesus was God's blessing sent to us on earth. It was God's blessing to us. It's Jesus that's the blessing. And the blessing's wrapped up in him. It's not wrapped up in all the other things, but it's wrapped up in the man, Christ Jesus. It's wrapped up in Jesus, my brother and sister. That's where the true blessing is. You can have a lot of things, but without him, it's just not that good. It's just not that satisfying without him. We can get new homes, we can get new houses. But without him, that house isn't a home. Without him, we just aren't satisfied. We're going to want something else to satisfy us. The blessing, the gift of God's grace. Every time God blesses you, you better remember that's his grace stretching out his arms to you. His arms of grace. God blesses you with mercy tomorrow morning because his mercy is renewed every morning. God's grace was just reached out to you. Physical and temporal blessings. Prosperity, Malachi 3:10 through 12. Food, clothing, Matthew 6:26, 30 and 33. Sowing, harvest, Acts 14:17. Longevity, Exodus 20:12. Children, Psalms 127, 3 to 5. General blessings, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Specific blessings, Romans 9:45. Perverted blessings, Romans 2:17 to 29. Rejected, Acts 13:46 to 52. You know, we get these blessings from God and God blesses us. But you know, there is in the Bible where blessings turn into curses. And with that, I have to say that to balance this whole thing out, because too many times we talk about the blessing, but we forget that sometimes that blessing can become a curse if we're looking more to the blessing or the thing that God blesses us than we're looking to God. And God will let that blessing turn into a curse. I'll give you a real good example and just use myself. God blessed us with a home at one time, and we were doing fantastic. We were doing good, so we thought, and things got a little tight, so we quit paying our tithes, and God's judgment and God's wrath began to be in, and God's chastisement began to give us a chastisement. You know, I'm looking down here in my notes in blessing, and it says fatherly chastisement according to Hebrews 12:5 11 is a blessing, because if God chastises you, you're a son and not a bastard. And God began to chastise my wife and I. Lost our home, lost our car, so we had to come up with some money for a car. And God didn't want that to happen, but the blessing that we attained began to become a curse. And sometimes when you get a blessing, it will turn into a curse because you're looking more at the natural things, the natural blessings, instead of looking at the blesser. And God wants us to look at him. And be thankful that he has blessed us with good things. But it all revolves around Jesus. And we've got to continue to obey his word for those blessings to continue to manifest in our life. Thank God he's merciful. Thank God we repented. Thank God he was quickly to bless us again. That's an amazing thing about God. When you go to him and you have a right heart attitude, a humble and contrite spirit, he won't turn away. But a haughty spirit he will. See, he won't turn away that humble heart from his presence. He won't turn away. When you go repentant, God's going to restore things suddenly. God's going to do it supernaturally. He'll sustain you supernaturally if he has to. He'll rain manna out of heaven. He did it for Elijah. God said he's no respecter of persons. He can do it for you and me. God's blessing is upon you and it's upon me. It doesn't matter what we have. It doesn't matter what we don't have. As you sit right now, washed in the blood of the Lamb, washed, consecrated, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, you are blessed by God Almighty. You are blessed. You are not cursed, but you are blessed, my brother and sister. You don't need to walk around with your head hung low. You need to walk around with your head hung high because Jesus blessed you. He blessed you with eternal life. He blessed you with salvation. He blessed you with forgiveness. And he blessed you with life eternal to live in glory with him in heaven and to come down here on this earth. God has blessed you with a blessing. He said, I wish above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. But wait a minute, even as your soul prospers, we go to the good health and we go for the blessings, but we don't go to the soul. See, we're too worried about getting the material things that we don't worry about the soul. This realm of man, and it's in that soulless man that we need to get blessed. First and foremost, we need to know that a man's been forgiven, that he's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that he's repented of his sins, he's done a 180 degree turn, and he's living for Jesus. That's the true blessing. That's the true blessing. See, it's not about things, my brother and sister. It's about Him. When you have Him, you are blessed. You might live in a shack with a porta potty out back, but you're still blessed. You're blessed as long as you got Jesus. You might not have a husband, but you're blessed. You might not have a wife, but you're blessed. It's not what you have, it's who you have. If you've got Jesus, you've got it all. You've got it all. There might be some things that take time to manifest to you because of things God wants to change in you. And some of the character traits God wants to work on you. Some of the sandpaper God uses on you before He can allow you to attain certain things and to receive certain things. There are things God wants to give you, but sometimes you're just not ready for it. You're not ready for some blessings that He has for you. If you could see some of the blessings that He has for you, you're not ready for them yet. And I'm not ready for some of them. But if we seek God and we keep a humble heart, God's going to begin to unveil them. God's going to begin to release them into our life. He's going to release the blessings that He has prepared for us. There are things that God's got prepared for every one of you sitting in this building tonight or listening by a CD or tape. There are things God has prepared for you. Things that you don't even know about. His thoughts that He thinks to us are thoughts of good, not of evil, to give us an expected end. He loves us with an everlasting love. His love is so far beyond our phileo love. We only know love in the sometimes in the physical or in the cuddly sense with a husband and wife. But God's love is deeper than that. It was that love that sent Jesus to this earth, that sent Him to a cross, that raised Him from the dead so we can be justified by our sins and being forgiven. God loves you and God blessed you. He blessed you with a man of God named Robert A. Venable. He's a blessing. And sometimes we wonder why we're not full or why this person left or that person left. Can I tell you something the Lord spoke to me this week? I forget what day it was, but I was at my computer. I had the worship going and I was reading my Bible. I think it was Thursday. Yeah, it was Thursday. And I was reading my Bible and I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, there are people that have left. And it's not because of anything that we've done. It's because of things that were wrong in their heart. And God can't send us the move of God that He wants to send us because there are things that God has revealed. He said many years ago that there was going to be a sifting. And some of the people God has sifted out of here, we are amazed at and we're shocked at. But there is a reason there was a sifting, my brother and sister. Because the ones that are left are the ones that God is going to move through by His Spirit. The ones that are going to stay. The ones that have got that pure heart, that have that undefiled religion inside of them. There are some people that want to just walk around and have titles and do this. And God knows that those are the kind of people that cannot be in this ministry. Those are the kind of people that have to go to other places to get status symbols, to get places and to appear to be successful before man. But there are those of us that are left. We're not looking to be successful before man. We're looking to be successful before an almighty God. Because there's an almighty God that's returning to this earth very, very soon. He's coming with power. He's coming in glory. He's coming with a trump of God, and He's going to call the church back up to Himself. There's a reason certain people left, and it's because of an evil heart of unbelief. It's because of an evil heart of letting truth fall into the streets. Because they didn't take the blessing that God gave them of a little church, and they didn't want to wait for the promise. See, Moses and Sarah, they had to wait a long time for the promise. They had to wait a long time, my brother and sister, for that blessing. But that blessing came. See, we endure hardness as a good soldier through patience. Sometimes us humans don't like to be patient. Well, I can go to this church and I can have it right now. God didn't want you to have it right now. He wanted you to wait. He wanted you to bloom. He wanted you to plant. He wanted you to grow. Some people aren't ready for certain ministerial gifts, even though they've got them, even though they're inside of them. They're not ready to be used yet. Because pride goes to certain people's head. And when pride comes, they go before a fall, the Bible says. And that blessing that God gave them becomes a curse. And it's important that we understand the difference of the blessing becoming a curse or the blessing staying a blessing. God loves us. God gave a son for us and God has blessed us. But it's not the things. It's not the material. It's the man, Christ Jesus. That's the blessing. That's the gift of God's grace. It's that He sent His Son to bleed and to die for you and me. I'm thankful. I got convicted when I was preparing because how many know when you get tired? Sometimes your kids get on your nerves. Amen, parents? And it said children are a blessing. So I got to work on that. And so do some of you. I've got to work on that. So Lord, help me to work on that blessing. God has blessed you. God has blessed me. I mean, these blessings will come and they'll overtake you. You don't even have to go out and look for it. They'll just come and they'll fall right in your lap. That's an amazing thing that these blessings will just come and they'll overtake you. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. You get that raise on your job? Goodness just came to you, my brother and sister. Because it came from God. Because God gave you the favor with your boss to get that raise. Didn't come from your boss. Your boss is not your source. Your God is your source. Publix ain't my source. God uses them, but God is my source. God is my source. That's where the blessing is. It's in God. That's where this nation needs to get back to, is in God we trust. We're the only nation that's taken our religion and thrown it under a carpet. The only nation that forgets their God. It's not going to happen in Iraq. They're not going to forget about Allah. It's not going to happen in Japan. They're not going to forget about Buddha. But see, America has become so blessed, quote unquote, that their blessing has turned in to a curse. Their blessing has turned into a curse. And because of that blessing, and because of that curse, and because light has been in America, God wants to send a mighty revival. God is merciful, I understand, but God is holy. God is just. And if we don't see some national repentance, we're going to see some judgments fall in the land. You can call them hurricanes, you can call them what you want, but judgments are in the land. Because the blessing has become a curse. The curse can become a blessing again, but it's going to take repentance. See, we have forsaken our God and looked to money, looked to mammon as our God. And God wants to call His people back to Him being the source, Him being the provider, Him being the protector. And yes, if a man don't work, a man don't eat. But He wants us to get a revelation that it's God that provides. He might use a major company, but it's God that provides. He might use Walmart, He might use Publix, but it's God. He might use SSI, but it's God that provides for you. He'll take $250 a week and make it seem like you've got $10,000 every month. because He's God. He can stretch your gas tank if He needs to because He's God. When you're blessed and you're going to get a soul and you've got an eighth of a tank of gas and you've got to go all the way to Claremont, God will sustain your gas where it don't even move because you are blessed and want to be about your Father's business. You want a true blessing when you begin to get about your Father's business. God is going to bless you abundantly. God is going to bless you supernaturally. God is also going to watch the motives of your heart. So, are your blessings turning into curses? If they are, look at yourself. Look at yourself, my brother and sister. I've got to look at myself. And then we get blessings. We want a new car and we pray for a new car. And God blesses us with new vehicles. And then we wreck them or whatever. And we get unsatisfied with them. We start to murmur and complain about them. And then all of a sudden these little things start going wrong with our car and we wonder why. It's kind of like the snakes that bit the children of Israel's feet. All these things go wrong with our vehicles. We don't understand why, because we're murmuring and complaining. God still hates murmuring and complaining. And I'm guilty. But God still hates it. I can tell you by the authority of God's word, He hates it. God blesses us and then we murmur and complain about it. You wanted a husband, God bless you with a husband, but you murmur and complain about him because he's not saved, he's not coming to church, he's not following Jesus. Sometimes we need to praise our way to our blessing. Sometimes we need to praise our way to our blessing. Start thanking God every day. Every time you go to complain, start thanking Jesus. And boy, this is going to hurt us all. This is going to hurt us all, what I just said. Instead of us complaining about men not coming to help mowing, we need to thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for sending men. Thank you, Jesus, for sending men. Thank you, Lord, for sending that man, saving that man on that corner street so he can come and help us with the vision. Help us do the work in the yard. And I'm as guilty as everyone in this room, but God still hates it. And God wants us to change it. We want the benefits without the blesser. And it don't happen that way, my brother and sister. I know it's being preached that way, but it doesn't happen that way. You can't have the benefits without having Him. That's like saying, Doug's my son, and he wants nothing to do with me until I die, and then he wants everything that I've got and wants a part of me. Same scenario, my brother and sister. Same scenario. We want the benefits of having adoption, being an adopted son of God, but we don't want to humble ourselves and seek Him and pray and bow to His word. When it says, when reviled, revile not. If somebody talks bad about you, don't defend yourself. Let God defend you. But yet, we feel the need that we need to give somebody a piece of our mind because we're right, we're justified, we're angry. But yet, we can't walk out that simple word and do what His word says. Didn't He say be doers and not just hearers only? And yet we're still hearing it in the 21st century. Be doers and not just hearers only. God, through His servants, through those that He wants to speak through, will give and deliver His word and not their own. It's kind of like Balak and Balaam, you know. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. If God's blessed you, there ain't no devil in hell that's going to curse you. There ain't No, there's no voodoo seminar that can come and put some voodoo on you, because what God has blessed, no man can curse. And what God has cursed, no man can bless. No man can bless what God has cursed. There are some things on Nebraska Avenue that me and Mr. Mike Nauman cursed coming back from youth camp meetings when we were at the Holy Church of God, and there were clubs that would try to spring up and pop up. And it was comical, but you know what? Those clubs ain't up. Because we just sang a simple little song that says, I curse you in the name of Jesus, whatever it was. It'd be like going by the Todd Theater and saying, I curse you in the name of Jesus, Todd Theater. We just did that little simple song all the way home and kind of made it cute. And those two clubs aren't there no more. I'm not saying I'm gifted. I'm not saying I'm all anointed or all that. I'm just saying, but the Bible did say whatever we curse is cursed. And whatever we bless is blessed. It's what the Bible says. Whatever we put our mouth to and say is blessed is blessed. Whatever we say is cursed is cursed. That's in your Bible. Read it sometime. And I'm going to tell you something. If God's put His finger on something and cursed something, it don't matter what prophet from anywhere in the world comes and tries to prophesy, it's blessed. It's not blessed. It doesn't matter what voodoo person tries to curse it if it's blessed. If God blessed it, there ain't no devil in hell that's going to stop it. The only thing that can stop it is you and me. You and me, when we get wrong with God, we stop it and we stop the flow. We need to grow up and recognize certain attacks from our enemy. Devised attacks. Specified attacks. Paul had attacks. Paul had emissaries sent to him. We ain't better than Paul. I think sometimes our tiredness is a spirit of weariness that we need to rebuke and we need to tell it to get behind us in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible did say that the enemy's trying to wear down the saints in the last days. He's trying to wear us down. Why? Because he don't want us to get into our prayer closet where we can do damage. He doesn't want us to read our Bible so we can get faith and grow. And when somebody needs a prayer to have the faith to pray and to see God answer, God can do it. God can do it. God can do it if we'll allow Him to do it. But you've got to allow God to bless you. And you've got to walk around like you're blessed. You've got to walk around like we're the last people on this planet. You've got to walk around like you've got to get a different mentality. Not a prideful one. There's a balance. One that knows I'm right with God. One that strives to walk uprightly before Him daily. One that longs to be in His presence. And when you can't because of obligations and duties and taking care of family, your heart breaks. Because you know that when you get in His presence, some of that tension is going to go away. Some of that frustration is going to leave because you're in the presence of God. You have the peace of God because you're in the presence of God. When you're in His presence, it makes all the difference in the world. They can take the stuff. Give me the blessing in His presence and I'll be fine. Give me an hour in the presence of God and I'll come out a relaxed, peaceful man. When I get frustrated, if I go and pray, or I go and sit into a worship, listen to a worship CD, and I just meditate on His goodness and meditate how good He's been to me, things begin to change. God's been good to you. God's been good to me. He's blessed you and He's blessed me. And God loves to bless His children. No different than we love to bless our children. God loves to bless us. But sometimes we get a little spoiled. And we begin to think we're hot stuff, and because God answered this prayer and God answered that prayer. And now we come to this big thing and God says, nope, I'm not going to answer that just yet. I'm going to wait on that one. And now we begin to do what kids do and throw little tantrums. But God, why? Why haven't You sent me a wife? Why haven't You sent me a husband? I don't understand. Why did this happen and why did that happen? And we forget about the blessing of the Lord. We forget about the blessing. Little things come in and distract us, and we've forgotten about the blessing. Husbands and wives, God blessed you with a godly man and a godly wife. That doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're both saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, some women are filled with shopping ghosts, but you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm just kidding. Be filled with and controlled by the Spirit of God. Not the spirit of $50, but the Spirit of the Lord. And I say that jokingly, but it's true. And hey, I've got my problems too. I mean, there are things sometimes I forget about the blessing of the Lord. And the Lord really spanked me by being good to me and giving me this gracious sermon. Because I tell you what, it's so easy sometimes to forget about our blessings. I mean, just everyday life, we can forget about the simple blessings of the Lord. The simple blessings. I mean, the simple blessing of salvation. We should never forget about that, but we do. Because we get involved in our daily lives, our daily activities, and we forget to thank God for saving us. And that's a blessing. Salvation is a blessing. Being forgiven is a blessing. That's the greatest blessing of all. Take all the other stuff, just give me Jesus, as the old song said. Take all that other stuff, but just give me Jesus. A couple Sundays ago, I don't exactly know when it was, but I was standing probably where Kim is. I don't remember exactly where, but I said, okay, Lord. For a long time, I've wanted a motorcycle, and I said, you know, Lord, I'm tired of this fight in my home and the tension and the frustration it brings. And so I sat right there, and I gave everything to God, and I said, Lord, you know what, Lord, it's okay. You don't want me to have one? I'm done. I'm tired of this. And God knew my heart. I'm done, Lord. I don't want to think about it. If you don't want me to have one, then I don't want to have one. But if you want me to have one, I'll ride that sucker. And I'm murmuring and complaining about not having a motorcycle. I did. My wife's telling on me. It's okay. I told y'all about murmuring and complaining. And God was gracious to me and blessed me with one. And you know what? It kind of humbles me because I ain't good. Ain't none good save God. Because I know without Him, we're all a hunk of mud. See, because He's the true blessing. It's all about Him. And you know what? No one knew we were going to talk about the blessing of the Lord tonight. And we sang some of the perfect songs to go right along with the service. God knows exactly what He's doing. And you know what? I don't want to be in the way of the Spirit of God moving. Whatever God's got to do for Him to move, I want Him to do it. Whatever He's got to do to move, to be able to move in this place, to be able to speak in this place, I want Him to be, whoever, if I've got to get out of the way, I'll get out of the way and sit down because I want to see God move. It's not so much whether I preach or whether I don't preach. I just want the hand of God to move. I want the hand of God to move. I want His right hand to move in power and move in majesty and move in glory because He's blessed us with a blessing. And I'm telling you right now, the blessings are going to begin to intensify, but so is the opposition from our enemy. Because I'm telling you right now, when we get blessed by Almighty God, the enemy does not like it. Because we walk around joyful because we begin to to talk about the things that God did for us. And we'll talk about them at the job. And the devil don't like us talking about what God did for me on the job. Because it brings glory to the man Christ Jesus. It brings glory. Hallelujah. It brings glory. The enemy don't want glory being to God. He doesn't want us lifting up Jesus. Because the Bible said if He be lifted up, He'd draw all men unto Himself. And we begin to praise God and thank Him for the things that He's done for us. We begin to glorify Him and we begin to lift Him up. And in that lifting up, in that moment, God can draw somebody by His Spirit to salvation because we're lifting Him up. We're not lifting ourselves up. We're not lifting a church up. We need to be lifting Him up because He's the blessing. The blessing's found in Him. Not in a convention, not in material things, but it's found in Jesus. And if we could get back to the simple basics of the gospel, of everything being wrapped up in Jesus, we'd see a mighty manifestation of the Spirit of God. A mighty manifestation of the Spirit of God. It's not how many chapters we read tonight. It's not me talking about the devil's defeated. No, it's about Christ reigning in this place tonight. And it's about Christ reigning in your heart and reigning in my heart and being the Lord of our life. Not just the Savior of our life, but He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Master. He wants to be able to say, I want you to do this for me. That man that did you wrong, I want you to bake him a cake, as the Bible says. Do good to those that this Bible will use you. Practical things. We just need to be doers of the Word and not just hearers. Because God's blessed us. And the blessings He's blessed us with are the gift of God's grace. Every time we're blessed, God's grace just reached out to us again and again and again and again. That good interest rate you got so you could lower your monthly payment, God blessed you so you could be a blessing, because it's better to give than to receive. Maybe there's some kid that you see walking down the street that needs something. God wants us to be a blessing, not just hoard it. He's blessed us so we can also be a blessing. Not just be selfish, but be a blessing. There are kids here in America that don't even have tennis shoes. We had somebody staying with us, was about 13 years old, never in his life owned a pair of Nikes. Never in his life owned a pair of Nikes. Not saying that you've got to have Nikes, but my kids take it for granted. They get Nikes, Etnies. Not saying there's nothing wrong with that, but I just want my kids and my wife to understand that God has blessed us tremendously. Even though we went and went for a wrong turn, God has blessed us. It kind of reminds me of the story in the Old Testament of Ruth and Boaz and how she lost everything. And God brought everything back to her swiftly and openly before all, before everybody. God blessed them. Openly and publicly, God will bless us. I'm not saying you're going to win the lottery, but God will bless you. You keep that good heart attitude, and God's going to bless you with a blessing. And I'm telling you right now, there is nothing that can stop that blessing but you. There's no devil. There's no circumstance other than your wrong heart attitude and my wrong heart attitude that can stop that blessing and the blessings of God flowing to us. The blessings that were on Abraham, they're ours, my brother and sister. And we need to take them by faith, and we need to receive them by faith, that they're ours. Peace. Faith to believe God for the impossible. I'm telling you, faith to believe God for the supernatural. Not just a faith, but a faith that knows that God is going to do everything He said in His Word. God's going to do everything He said. If somebody comes sick, I expect God to heal them. I expect God to do what He said His Word is going to do. There's nothing wrong with expecting that. Nothing wrong with it at all. The Bible said He's not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Now, if we pray for somebody, and guess what? I will say this. If we pray for somebody, and they're wrong with God and they're wrong with their brother, God's not going to answer that prayer. God won't heal them. I'm sorry, until they get things right. But if somebody's right with God, they're right with their brethren, there's no ought, and we pray, God's going to heal them and God's going to move. When you pray for somebody, it's not necessarily you not believing God and you not getting through. Thank you for the amen. It has to do with you, with that person being right with God and being right with their brothers and sisters and being able to receive. See, I give Doug this cup, he receives. He received it. But if I'm God and my word says, if you have aught to your brother, and if you offend him, go to them before you come to the altar, and they come and I try to pray for Doug, there's a barrier. There's a wall. There's a wall. That person can't receive because that person's wrong. There's only been a few times in my life I haven't been able to pray for people. And there's been a few times I've prayed for people to get sick when I gave them money. And my wife, when we first met, thought I was crazy. But I had to do what I felt the unction of the Lord to tell me to do. And it's an amazing thing. When you pray, somebody that's really hungry, they say they're hungry. We know what they really want the money for. But they say they're hungry. And I said, okay, I'll give you the money because I've got youth service going on in here. And I need to get back inside. Here's the money. But before I give you the money, I want to pray. Oh, okay. Then you pray for me. Don't pray that. Don't pray I get sick if I get alcohol. Guess what? He just gave it away. I said, sir, you know, I was going to give you this money, but I'm not now. Have a wonderful evening and God bless you. And I went back inside and held youth service because I'm not going to give my money for somebody to go and get drunk. Not going to do it. I see them all the time on the sides of the road. And hey, my heart goes out to them. I want to see them delivered. But as long as they have that attitude that they can get it from Americans, because we are a nation that God has blessed, and we are a nation that's forgetting our blessings that God has blessed us with, they're going to continue to go down the same roads that they're going because they're not hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to them. God wants to set everyone free that's willing. Everyone that the Spirit of God draws, God's going to set free. There are those that God doesn't draw that still come down to this altar that God hasn't drawn, that haven't been set free because God knows they're not ready. It's not us. It's not God. It's them. They can't receive the blessing of salvation. They're not ready for it. They appear to be ready. They're being godly sorrowful. But godly sorrow works repentance, my brother and sister. Does not bring it. Does not bring repentance. It works it. There's a difference. It can work up to it, but it doesn't bring it. And we've seen people all the time come down to this altar with tears rolling down their eyes. And we wondered, why didn't this happen or why didn't that happen? Because godly sorrow works repentance. It doesn't bring it. And we've got to understand that God wants to move by His Spirit. But unless God's Spirit draws them, there's no manifestation of God's Spirit that can deliver them. Because God looketh on the heart. See, man looketh on the outward appearance. But God looks at the heart. We can say we've had 1,000 people get saved. But in all true reality, God knows if it was only 5. In quote-unquote revival meetings. It can appear to look good and successful before man. But God doesn't look at that. That's why God is so different. That's why God said, separate me this one and separate me that one. Because He doesn't bless like man. He doesn't move like man. And He doesn't work like man. The things that are highly esteemed among men, they are an abomination to God Almighty. And they always will be. That will never change. I know men would like it to change. And they preach today like it has changed. But it has not changed. The things that appear successful are an abomination to His nose and to His eyes and to His ears. The things that quote unquote say they're church, they are not. And it is an abomination to God Almighty. The blessing that they say they have, they do not have because they don't have the blesser. See, it's all about having the blesser, my brother and sister. When you have the blesser, being Jesus, you have the blessing. Too many churches today don't even let Jesus in. Thank you for the amens, but it's true. They allow programs and they allow Christian bands, but they don't allow Jesus. They don't allow the blesser, so they can't obtain the blessing. See, we want to obtain the blessing, but we don't want to obtain the blesser. Because the blesser is going to come and He's going to put that finger on our life that He wants to change. That He wants to rearrange. That bad attitude you got with that lady at the mall, He might want you to turn around and go back and repent and apologize and ask forgiveness because you're His son, you're His daughter, and you're to mirror Him. You're to be like Him and not like the world, not like your mama, not like your daddy, not like your aunt, not like your sister. You're to be like Jesus. Not like your pastor. You're to be like Jesus. Not like that man on TV that you obtained so godly. No, even that man isn't godly enough. We got to be like Jesus. Jesus is the standard that we all must live by. Jesus is the standard that we all must die by. Jesus is the standard that we all must live by. Jesus is the standard. It's not man. Jesus is the standard. It's not programs. Jesus has always been the way, the truth, and the life. And it will always be that way. Man can do whatever he wants to appear successful because of numbers and ability. But unless God Almighty is living in those people's heart, it is not church. Unless there's been a born-again experience, they do not have the blessing of the Lord. They might have the blessing of Satan, but they do not have the blessing of the Lord. Brother Sean, how can you say that? Because there are wolves in sheep clothing, my brethren, my brothers and sisters. There are wolves in sheep clothing. Just because it appears a church, there are false prophets, false teachers behind pulpits today. There are 7,000 that are true. Amen. But there are those that are false as well. And you need to read your Bible so you can discern the difference. Because I'm telling you something right now. I can listen to somebody and within 3 minutes, I'm telling you, if they ask within 3 minutes for money, click, click, click. I'd just as soon watch a movie than to hear that. Because I want to hear what Jesus has to say to me. Thank God for those that have got outreaches. But that money that those partners sent in for that television time should be for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If Paul was here, he would ask, it should be for the preaching of the cross. Because the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. That's exactly what our apostle would tell us we need to be doing with the airtime. We need to be preaching the power of the cross. We need to preach the cross and Jesus crucified. Because it's in that cross that holds salvation so powerful. It's in that cross that releases all yokes of bondage, all yokes of sickness, all disease. It's in that cross, my brother and sister, because Jesus hung on it and He died, but yet He rose again. And it's in that raising of the dead that makes that cross even that much more powerful. That's the blessing. Jesus being on that cross and raising from the dead. Would you stand to your feet? Blessing, salvation, John 3:16. Election, Ephesians 1:3-5. Regeneration, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Forgiveness, Colossians 1:14. Adoption, Romans 8:15-17. No condemnation, Romans 8:1. A blessing of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8. Justification, Acts 13:38-39. A new covenant, Hebrews 8:6-13. Hallelujah. Blessings. We're talking about blessings, my brother and sister. Fatherly chastisement, Hebrews 12:5-11. Christ's intercession, Romans 8:34. Sanctification, Romans 8:3-14. Perseverance, John 10:27-29. Glorification, Romans 8:30. These are all blessings we can obtain. You know what? I got to go back here because it says prosperity, Malachi 3-10, in the first part of it, and it says food and clothing. Never went on to say your business might be blessed. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Talk about sowing a harvest. See, in the old days, in the days of the Bible, in those old days, a harvest field was everything. Because that's what they lived by. That was their income. That's what they bartered with. So, and certain people's harvest failed because they were wrong with God. Or because they didn't do all the statutes that God had commanded them to do with the land. That's why we have such the problem we have with all of the ailments that all the American people today is because all the nutrients have been taken out of the soil. And because all the nutrients have been taken out of the soil, now we have to make things grow even quicker. So now it's even more unhealthier because we're not following what God told us to do and let the land rest for a year. So all the nutrients can come back so we can plant on it again, because we're just growing and growing and populating. Everything's fast-paced. And because we haven't done the things that God's Word commanded us to do with the land, that's why we have some of the ailments that we have in heart disease and cholesterol and all those things, because the foods that we are eating from are not 100% off of vines. A lot of them are in hothouses, greenhouses, because we don't have the time to wait for a year and do what God told us to do with the land. And we have all these ailments in our body, and the FDA is getting rich off of all of us people because we're all going to the doctors and getting all these prescriptions that we really don't need. I'm not against doctors. I'm just saying there are some prescriptions we don't need. I believe in going to the doctor to an extent. My wife gets mad at me sometimes, and my mom gets mad at me sometimes, because I believe that God's going to take care of me. I believe there's things I've got to do too. Eat right, not eat certain things. Eat healthier, which we can all do, and He'll take care of us. I take Him at His word, and call me foolish for taking Him at His word, whatever it might be, but if I do everything He told me to do in this Bible, He's going to take care of me. He's going to give me longevity of life. It's a blessing. If we do what His word says to do, now that means we need to, you know, when we go get chicken wings, instead of getting 26 to eat by ourselves, we only need to get about 12. And hey, we all do it. I'm the first one. You take me to an all-you-can-eat crab leg place, and you'll be there for 2.5 hours with me. 3 hours. Because this old man's going to eat some crab legs. This old man's going to eat some crab legs until I can't move. And until I got to drive home and be miserable because I love seafood. Now, I should just eat until I'm comfortable. But you see, that bill was $27.95. I got to get my money's worth. And see, that's what's wrong. That's what's wrong with this, because we overeat. And that's why we have some of the health conditions that we have, because we're not following His word. And I got to swallow that one big too myself. So I hope this message touched you. I hope it helps you. I hope that it causes you to grow and understand that the blessing of the Lord is not about things. If it's about things, it's about spiritual things. If God's going to bless you, He's going to bless you with food and clothing, and that's it. And that doesn't mean a Rolex. God help us to get out of thinking that we've arrived and we've got into faith because we have a Rolex or we drive a Lamborghini. To be honest with you, I was flipping through the channels one Sunday morning, and I saw a program, and I won't mention the program. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And they had this big old stage, and on the stage they had a Lamborghini. And I was turned off because they were talking about life and they were talking about prosperity. And I said, this has nothing to do with prosperity. That car has nothing to do with having the blessing of the Lord or prospering in God. That car has nothing to do with it. And you know what? It must make God sick to account that the blessings, the physical and temporal blessings and versus the spiritual and eternal blessings that we forfeit because we're going after the gain because we think it's godliness when it is not according to Scripture. And it just sickens my stomach because that's not the blessing of the Lord. And if this ever gets to get out there, I hope some of the men get this tape. And I hope God gets a hold of them. Not because I'm right, because His word's right. Has nothing to do with me. Not because I know everything, because I don't. I just want to be a defender of His word and stand for the truth in these last days. Because truth has fallen in the streets, the Bible says, and no man's laid it to heart. And we need some men to lay it to heart and some women to lay it to heart. You know, I'm longing for the day when somebody comes down and they want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. That You do it by laying on the hands, or you can do it by blowing on somebody. Only two ways I know of in Scripture that people can receive the Holy Ghost. You don't have to sit there and have a bunch of people stand around them and speak in tongues and say what I say. That is not being filled with the Holy Ghost. And how dare us say that it is when it is not? How dare us? I'm not going to say that, but I know of big ministries that have. My wife took somebody to somebody's meeting and she told me that, and I was disgusted and I was mad, because that does not express my master's power whatsoever. Because my master holds all the power in the universe. And my God, I don't know about your God, but my God can do anything. If somebody wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost, they can be filled with the Holy Ghost. If they're really seeking God and they really want it, God's going to fill them to the uttermost. And it turned that person off that my wife took to that meeting. And that ministry will be held accountable for turning that person off. No matter how grand it looks, no matter how glorious it looks, that ministry will be held accountable because a soul was turned off. Jesus put it this way: you either gather with me or you scatter with me. There is no in between. It's on one. You're on one side or the other. And many ministries today, because of their success, they don't want people to get close to the man or to the woman of God. But that's not being like Jesus. That is not being like Jesus. Jesus went around people. Jesus hung around people. And yes, I know we need to separate. There are times that the man of God needs to go and be alone for prayer and fasting. I agree with that 100%. But when there was parties, Jesus was the life of the party. Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. He's the true blessing. He's the true blessing. Anybody need prayer? For anything, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what it is. If not, we're going to worship and we're going to go home. Thank you, Father. You are awesome. You are mighty. There is none like you, Father. None like you, Lord. None like you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence in this place, Father. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you're no respecter of persons, Father. Thank you that it doesn't matter if it's 10,000 or 15 or 10, Father. You're in the midst of us, Father. I thank you for being here tonight, Father, and moving by your Spirit, Father God. Father, those that are here, Father, tonight, I pray that Father God, this week, that you would bless them with a blessing, Father, because they have the blesser, Father, and they seek the blesser, Lord. Father, I pray that Lord God, that you would touch them, that you would keep them as the apple of your eye, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and that you'd be their rear guard, Father. That, Father, you would strengthen them this week with all might in the inward man, Father God, and that weariness that so settles on them and troubles them and tries to follow them, that it would fall off of them, Father, in the name of Jesus. And those intercessors that are in this room, Father God, would rise up, Father, and be the intercessors that you have called them to be, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, because, Lord, they can change nations, Father, on their knees, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father. Lord God, I thank you. We can win people one by one, but an intercessor, Father, can change nations and worlds and kingdoms, Father, in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, that you would keep them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for just blessing us with your Son. I thank you that He's the true blessing, Father. I thank you, Father. That's God's intercession, my brother and sister. God's intercession. God's intercession. Indeed, I bless this nation. I bless this nation with many things, saith the Lord. This is a bountiful nation. And indeed, I am cursing it. It is under my curse. It is under my judgment. This night, saith the Lord. Come to me. Come to me, my children. So I can protect you from the coming storm. Come to me so I can protect you from the storm, my children. There's a storm a-coming. There's a storm a-coming, my little ones. There's a storm a-coming. There are those that cry, peace, peace, saith the Lord. When there is no peace, saith my God. There are those that cry peace in the streets when there is none. I'm sending my messengers forth. I'm sending my servants. I'm sending those and calling to those that will hear my voice. That will hear and attain to my words, saith the Lord. And not follow after strange gods like Dagon and dead gods and gods who have eyes that see not and ears that hear not and hands that can touch not and hands that can deliver not. But I, the Lord, can deliver, saith the Lord. I can set those captives free because I am God and above me there is no other, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Why he speaks to us? Because we listen. I'm telling you right now that if we did not listen, he would not waste his time. He would not waste his oil. But now we must be wise virgins and get some oil. We must not be foolish in these last days. We can run to God in the time of trouble. And we're going to find safety in these last days. I don't know what's around the horizon. I'm not a seer, never claimed to be. But I do know that God is not a man that he should lie. And God has warned us several times again. And again tonight he warns us that there's a coming storm. I don't know what that storm might be, my brother and sister. I don't know if it's going to be an economic collapse. I don't know if it's going to be a hurricane. I don't know if it's going to be a tornado. I don't know if it's going to be another airplane that falls into another tower or another terrorist attack. But I do know.